Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on? This is Matt from the Flip Weekly Podcast. You're listening to the Flip Weekly Podcast. Why do I have to repeat myself like that? This is a podcast where we go to garage sales, we go to thrift stores, we find items that we can resell online for a profit. I'm really not looking forward to going to this weekend's garage sales. Not so much that I'm not wanting to spend money, not so much that I haven't had any luck at garage sales lately. It's more so that it's going to be fucking cold. You know, I'm sitting here, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and for some reason, the weather app says it feels like 11 degrees. We're freezing. We're freezing. I mean, I don't have heated floors. I don't have ducted air conditioning for a heater. I'm hesitant to put on the Dyson because I don't want my electricity bill to run up anymore. What we need to do is we need to make some more money from thrifting so we can pay high electricity bills, right? That's why we do this. We're doing this as a side hustle to make some fucking money because living in 2025 is virtually impossible, especially if you're living by yourself. Sydney, I swear, is built for two people. You cannot live in Sydney without somebody else because you're paying so much money in, for me, rental fees that it's impossible to live. So we're sitting here in a freezing cold apartment, full on tracky jacks, full on like oversized t-shirt, blanket, just trying to keep cool. So when Saturday comes around, when the alarm goes off at, 6 a.m., maybe earlier if there's a sale that looks promising, I'm going to so hesitantly get up out of bed. I'm going to be cursing the sun because I know that I'm going to rock up late, because if the garage sale looks good, people have rocked up the day before or 3 hours earlier to disturb the fucking person hosting the sale. So I'm going to hate it every single second of it. This is a podcast that advocates to go to garage sales. Apparently. But anyway, we have items that we bought and sold this week for a profit. I didn't do garage sales on the weekend. I was busy. I wish I did. I think, was it last weekend that there was like a community church sale that I did so well at the weekend before, the year before? No, that was 2 weeks ago. My fucking days are just blurring together. No, it was 2 weekends ago that there was a community church sale. Last year, I went and I picked up all these fucking cool 90s toys, fully sealed. I thought I did really well until I got home. You know, I picked up one of those Sky Dancers. You know, the things where you pull the ripcord and the thing shoots up in the sky. The originals are from the 90s. I got one of them last year and I was so happy. I was so stoked to find this because, you know, it's a sealed 90s toy that is so popular. Anyway, I found out later that I couldn't sell it. It's like illegal to sell it on eBay and Facebook. As soon as you put it up, it gets taken down. So, but I did so well at that last year that I was bummed out that I missed it, I guess, two weekends ago. I should have talked about it on the podcast last week, but now that I'm remembering what my weekends are looking like, they're all blurring together. So that was 2 weekends ago. This weekend, I was also busy. I wasn't able to hit up any sales, except I was able to find one item that is the topic of this week's podcast. It's also the topic of this week's newsletter. You can see all the photos on and see the videos on the newsletter and on the social media pages. I'm going to go through it all, but yeah, we have all those items that we found. We have secondhand opinions. We're going to go through the results from last week. I'm going to bring up a new topic this week, and we've got a lot to get through, so let's get cracking. So let's first get into what I bought, and I'm going to tell you what happened with this item. So I like to check out new YouTube resellers on YouTube, obviously, all the time. They get recommended to me. I'm always seeking them out. I'm updating the list of YouTube channels that I recommend on flipweekly.com. There's like a drop down under free resources, and it's like the ultimate list of YouTube resellers. So I was watching this video that was recommended to me. I the shit thing is I can't remember who it was. It was an Australian YouTuber, and they went to a thrift store and they found, I think they went to a Savers. So they went to a Savers and they found a plush behind the counter. I can't remember the price. It was a dude. I can't remember. I'm so bummed out. I'd love to give him a shout out, but I can't remember who it was. And behind the counter, they found a Mr. Squiggle plush toy. Now, if you didn't grow up, I mean, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, then, I mean, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. I mean, what age would that put you in? If you didn't grow up then, if you're born after the year 2000, actually, you'd be 25, so that's okay. That's fucking crazy. If you're born after the year 2000, you'd be at least 25. That is insane. That is insane. Anyway, if you grew up between 1959 and 1999, huge range there, there was this television show called Mr. Squiggle. The premise was really simple. Kids would send in these little squiggle drawings to ABC Australia's public broadcaster, and Mr. Squiggle, the puppet, would turn the squiggles into like a recognizable drawing. So Mr. Squiggle was a puppet. He had a sidekick who was like a human, and the person that was pulling the strings of Mr. Squiggle, like the marionette worker dude, was like above him, so you couldn't see him. So the marionette worker was looking down, and Mr. Squiggle had a fucking giant ass pencil for a nose. Looking back, he looks sort of weird. Yeah. Weird is putting it lightly. If you Google Mr. Squiggle on Google Images, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. He would turn these squiggles into recognizable drawings. Usually at the end, they would turn the art easel thing, whatever the fuck it's called, upside down so that you could see what the drawing was of. Because obviously the marionette guy is above Mr. Squiggle and he's doing it upside down. I don't know if this guy was like an artist, if it was like fucking some huge artist that was able to draw upside down really well. That's his talent. But he would turn it upside down and it would look great. Well, to kids' eyes, it looked great. I can't remember how they actually looked, but I remember as a kid would be like, wow, we couldn't tell what it was when it was upside down, but now that you turn it the right way, it looks great. So anyway, this is what that show was. Kids loved him. I can't remember if it was like educational that we watched it at school, but you definitely watched it at home. Yeah, this thing was one of the longest running Australian television programs. Like I said, it ran from 1959 until 1999. Some people's lives don't last that long. This fucking marionette clown with a pencil as a nose lasted that long on the airwaves. So he got taken down in 1999. The creator of the show owned the rights to the puppets, to the characters. So when he passed away, I'm pretty sure the rights to those characters just like, they just die, right? Like they disappear. So as of today, there's not really any merchandise that is coming out regularly. The only thing that really came out, and you can see this on eBay if you type in Mr. Squiggle, is commemorative coins. Came out in 2019 to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the show. They're expensive. They're on eBay. They're bought and sold all the time. And like I said, most kids that grew up before the year 2000 would recognize this character, or they should recognize this character. Now, getting back to the YouTube channel, when this person, this reseller, found it at Savers, it was behind the counter, and they paid a decent amount of money for this thing. I can't remember how much. It might have been like 50, 60 bucks. And that got me, my interest, because I'm like, well, if they paid this much, how much is it worth? You know, if they're buying a stuffed toy of Mr. Squiggle, what is the value of it? And so I jumped onto eBay and I could see the value of the plush toy being up there. It was selling for over $100. $140, $150 were like the latest comps. And there's like maybe two or three different variations of Mr. Squiggle on eBay. There is the first one. The first one was apparently made in the 60s and the 70s. It's all plush. It's a smaller version of Mr. Squiggle. The second one was developed by Kids Biz, I think that's what it was called, in the 90s. And it has plastic eyes and a longer neck. And then the third version is when people at home attempted to knit/crochet their own version of Mr. Squiggle. Yes, people tried to do that. There's actually one listing on eBay right now called Creepy Mr. Squiggle for $5. It looks like if I tried knitting with my eyes closed and put something for sale on eBay. The reason people were knitting this toy was because back in the 90s, they came out with a book called The Book of Knitted Toys, and it was all ABC characters, so ABC for kids, all characters from, you know, the very early shows showing people at home how to knit these characters. I mean, it sort of shows the mindset back then of the ABC. We're not going to sell these plush toys to you. We don't want to make the money. Do this at home yourself. We're not going to even sell you the wool. Go to your local craft store and buy the wool. It's so much different to how things are today, because if a huge television show like Mr. Squiggle came out today and it ran from like 2025 to 2050, you know for certain the merchandise is going to be fucking everywhere, right? You've seen what they've done to Bluey. Anything popular, especially targeted towards kids, like Miss Gabby. What's that fucking woman's name? She wears the overalls. My niece loves her. She came out with plush toys and they were expensive. You can only buy them in like certain places here in Australia. And Ms. Rachel, that's what it is. Ms. Rachel. Anyway, fast forward a couple of days. I'm in the car with my mum. We're going to visit my sister, my niece. Mum is talking about, you know, I want to find like a new hobby, something to do. Me being me, I'm like, okay, well, you could get back into, you know, doing some knitting, doing some crocheting. I was like, there is a Mr. Squiggle on eBay that is always sold out, but you could knit your own and I'm sure we could sell it on eBay for like 50, 60 bucks. And she was like, okay, that sounds interesting. I was doing the maths in my head. It does not work out to being a viable thing to do if you're doing it for money. I was thinking like you could sell it for 50 bucks, but then you add in your time, you add in the amount of wool, all the different colors, you're gonna probably lose money, right? Anyway, I said, if you want me to buy this book, I'll buy it for you. And we can, when I say we can make one, I mean, mum can make one and we'll gift it to my niece as a present. Because in this book, it wasn't just Mr. Squiggle. It was, you know, Bananas in Pyjamas, Johnson and Friends, an iconic classic show that most 90s kids will remember, Johnson and Friends. This book has three different characters you can make with knit and with wool. You remember like Alfred, the hot water bottle, Johnson, who was the pink elephant. And then there was the xylophone. Is that it? You know, the instrument where you push it together. You put your hands in like the handle and xylophone. Is it a xylophone? I don't fucking know. Anyway, it had that character. I thought that would be cool to knit that. You could probably sell them. I don't know if you'd make money. My mind even went into, maybe you could outsource this overseas, get them shipped back in, but let's ignore that. Let's ignore that. We're not going to knit these for a profit. This is just to say, I brought it up with mum on the Thursday. And what do you know? A couple of days later, very lazy day. I'm sitting on the lounge. I'm taking a break from whatever I was doing. I open Facebook Marketplace. The very first thing that I see on Facebook Marketplace posted 18 minutes ago was Mr. Squiggle soft toy, $35, located 30 minutes away from me. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? How is this just coming to me now? For reference, if you jump onto eBay and you type in Mr. Squiggle soft toy or Mr. Squiggle, you're not going to see any others. You're not going to see this at all. It is so rare that whenever they go up on eBay, they either sell instantly or they just don't go up on eBay. You cannot find them at all. The reason you can't find them, like I said, they didn't make them. The ABC wasn't making a ton of these plush toys. They're not interested in making the profit from the toys. They're trying to get you to make the toys at home because they don't care. So I'm just thinking, what are the odds of seeing this pop up on Facebook Marketplace posted 18 minutes ago? Now, I know Facebook Marketplace, in most cases, you have to be quick. If you see a video game system on eBay posted 5 minutes ago and it was underpriced and you know for certain that someone's going to buy it, you would be late at 5 minutes. You have to be in quickly. I immediately sent a message, exact words, sold please. Can I come and pick it up now? The reason I said it exactly like that is because that is what works when these video game buyers are using Marketplace, you say basically, sold, I'm coming now, can I like pay cash or whatever? No, the seller messaged me back instantly telling me her address. I'm like, great. Google Maps says it's 31 minutes from my place. I can get ready and leave in about 30 minutes and aim to get there by 3 p.m. Is that okay with you? That's what I said to her. Like I said, I was having a lazy day. It would take me about 30 minutes to get ready. I don't usually take 30 minutes to get ready, but I think I was like about to eat something or, you know, I wasn't wearing pants, something like that. And then what happened, the seller saw that message. They marked the item as sold and I heard nothing back. I'm like, fuck, I missed out on this, didn't I? I thought I missed out on this because I said I had to take 30 minutes to get ready. I was like thinking to myself, I was cursing myself out. I'm like, you should be wearing pants right now. Why aren't you wearing fucking pants? Get your shit together. I didn't hear anything back. That was at 1:56. And then I'm waiting. So I sent through a follow-up message just saying, and would you prefer cash or is transfer okay? I would need to know this anyway, regardless of if she got back to me or not. And I still waited. That was at 2:04 p.m. And time went by. 2:30 came, 3 o'clock came, and I didn't get anything. So I was thinking, yep, that's been and gone. That sucks. I was looking forward to this. Like, it's a cool little toy that you don't see every day. I've never held one before. And then at 3:05, messages me saying, prefer cash. So I'm like, great. I'm not going to fuck around now. I have pants on. So at 3:07, I reply and I tell her, great, no worries. I'm going to an ATM right now and I'm coming out. I'll send you my ETA. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I shouldn't have told her I'm going to an ATM. She'll look elsewhere. But that didn't matter. She said, no worries. I sent her an ETA and I rock up there. I got the fucking thing. So I had a quick talk to her. You know, I always regret not asking more questions when I get these items. Like, I'd love to know, how did you come across this? Like, was it yours? But in the moment, I'm never thinking like, I'm not in interview mode. I'm always thinking like, I'm getting a deal out of this. I don't want to ask too many questions and have the person back out. But we had a brief conversation and she was saying that, you know, she was telling her grandchildren about Mr. Skoog. She was like showing them the toy and the kids were like, ew, like this thing looks fucking ew. I thought that was hilarious. I was like, no, if you grew up on it, you wouldn't see him as weird. If you saw him now, I can see why people would think he looks weird. He looks like a fucking creepy ass clown with a giant pencil nose. So I can understand kids' reactions to him. She also said that she couldn't believe how many messages that she got from people. She said that a woman had messaged before me and was going to go out. So that's why she wasn't able to reply to me straight away. So somebody messaged her within those 18 minutes. It just shows how fast you have to be on Marketplace. Either how fast you have to be or you have to understand different niches so that you can find those hidden gems. Because, man, I thought I was being quick, 18 minutes for a plush toy. Somebody got in even quicker. Like, are these people setting up alerts for these keywords? Are they just refreshing Marketplace every single day? It's just pure dumb luck and maybe some like spying by Facebook that got me this Mr. Squiggle. I don't understand how it was able to come to me. The place isn't even within like that 10 kilometer radius that I set for Facebook. So maybe they're listening in on the conversation in the car when I was talking to mom. I don't know. I definitely didn't, you know, search for Mr. Squiggle on Facebook. I might have done it on eBay. I did do it on eBay, but I definitely didn't do it on Facebook. I would not look up comps for Mr. Squiggle on Facebook. So yeah, just very, very weird that it was able to come into my hands. Now, like I said, in terms of the comps, in terms of the sales, we have sales for this upwards of $150. You know, the very last one was $150 plus $12 postage, so $162. That was the Kids Bids one, the 1998 version. The other sale was for $140. That's the one that I was able to pick up. And I couldn't find much information online about this particular toy. You know, I was able to find one source, and it was some random person's blog that was talking about this television show's history in terms of plush. And they said that this one dates back to the 60s or the 70s. And I don't know about that. I honestly don't know. It doesn't strike me as like a plush toy from the 60s. The tag to me doesn't strike as something from the 60s or the 70s, but I mean, you never know. This person seemed to know a bit about toys, and if that's true, then the condition is immaculate. So just based on the fact that it's so hard to find, and there's very few that ever go up on eBay, I'm putting on my mat tax, which is chucking it up for $200 plus postage. Yes, I've got the balls to charge somebody $200 for a plush toy and then say, you know what, you're paying for postage too. It's so rude, so rude. But yeah, I think this thing's gonna sell. It's already had a couple of people watching it. I've sent out some offers, and you know, if you find this in the wild, you're gonna want to pick it up. I had to pay $35. I don't think I mentioned that yet, but I was happy to pay $35 because I knew I was going to list it for $200. So what I say to you is check your basements, check your old boxes. If you've had kids leave the house and they've got boxes full of old plush toys from when they were a kid, go look in them so you can sell their toys. Because this plush toy, maybe wait like a week or so for mine to sell before you flood the market. But yeah, Mr. Squiggle is a plush toy that you want to find in the wild. And I recommend jumping on the newsletter just so you can have a look at the pictures of him, because he is just such a cool little toy. I had him on my lounge just sitting there, and I was looking at him, and I actually called up my mum because I was like, you'd never believe what I fucking found. And I said, Mr. Squiggle, and I was looking at him like, I don't really want to sell him. I will, because, you know, the profits will come over my fucking feelings. But yeah, I'm sure Mum was happy that she didn't have to try and knit this fucking thing now. You know what would be a cool thing to knit? Would be like Mr. Squiggle, but just make the nose like a meter long. I think that would be fucking hilarious. Make every other limb just really small, but just have a giant fuck-off nose. But yeah, couldn't believe that. $200 it would be listed up for. And just fate. Not fate, just coincidence. A small world. All of these things coming together to get Mr. Squiggle in my hands. So, yeah. What a fucking unusual find to start things off with. Let's move on to the next item, and it's probably something that could have featured. It's going to sell for about the same price as Mr. Squiggle. You ever go into a Vinny's and you see the stickers that they're putting on now where it says, do not open? And every single item is already open. I don't know who the prying hands are. I think that should you only pry if you're going to buy the item? Are you going to open up an item and not buy it? It's a bit weird. Like, it's unusual for you to put on the sticker, do not open, and then it's out in the open for everyone else to, like, touch. I think the only time I'll open it is if I'm going to buy the item, if it's all complete inside. I think that's what I would do. Yeah, I'm not going to open something just to open it. So anyway, I found this item. It said do not open, and I saw on the front of it that it had a 1/6 scale replica. Now that to me is a sign that this is going to be good, because when it comes to scale replicas, they have to replicate something that exists already, which means they're going to have to put in some time and some effort to replicate it, right? Like, it just makes sense. If I'm going to create a scale replica, like a 1/6 scale replica of, you know, like a fucking plane, like a 747, I can't just fold a piece of paper and say this is a scale replica. Somebody will look at it and say, no, you're a fucking idiot. The scale replica has to look exactly the same, just be small. So scale replica, to me, ka-ching in my eyes. I walk up to it, it's out in the open at a Vinny's, it's down in the kids section. on the front of the box. The box is standing maybe like 45 centimeters tall, maybe 20 centimeters thick. I can't tell you how much it weighs. It had an Iron Man 2 logo on it. You know, everyone knows Iron Man. It's one of the first Marvel movies. It started the whole, you know, cinematic craze for superhero movies. You know, oh, they should make more superhero movies because they haven't completely flooded the market over the past fucking, what, like 10 years, 15 years? Fucking Jon Favreau with his curly hair created the very first Iron Man, or directed it, sorry. He didn't create Iron Man. That was, who was it? Stan Lee. Great name. This was, yeah, an Iron Man 2 figure inside the box. It had War Machine, the name on the back, and the character just looked like Iron Man. You know, I haven't seen Iron Man 2. I don't know really much about this character, except that it's played by Don Cheadle. Now, Don Cheadle, amazing actor, you probably know him from Hotel Rwanda. He came in and played War Machine in Iron Man 2 because the person that played him in the first movie, what was his name, Terrence Howard, he sort of fell off the deep end. I don't know what was going on with him, but most of the reports that I see about Terrence Howard now is him saying that 1 + 1 it doesn't equal 2, and just making bizarre claims like that. So I don't know what happened, but yeah, this is a Don Cheadle character. Iron Man 2. I read that it's a scale replica, so I know it's going to look cool if I open it up. And despite the law telling me, you know, I can't open it, I open it up because, you know why? It's already fucking open. If you look on the newsletter, you can see that the top's already open, the sticky tape's been peeled off. There is no harm in me, a grown adult, opening this up to see if, like, can I look at what I'm buying without, like, somebody looking over my shoulder as if I'm a child and I can't, you know, look at something? It's so weird how, just going back on these fucking stickers, it's so weird that they have these do not open, you must ask for somebody to hold your fucking hand if you're opening it. But they have the glass cabinets that don't have locks on them. You can open them up and you can handle the jewelry and you know, the Sydney Olympic memorabilia yourself. It's just fucking weird. I guess it's for kids. If this sticker is for kids, it can't be. Kids do not fucking read nowadays. It needs to be a fucking 3-second TikTok video saying do not open with the Vinny staff doing like a fucking dance for the kids to pay attention. No, it's not gonna, no one's reading this. No one is fucking reading this. I've read it and I just did it anyway. Open it up and it looks great. It has like the War Machine figure, the action figure, stands maybe like 30 centimeters tall. He has all different hands that you can like take off and put back on. There's Don Cheadle's face that's been hand painted and sculpted. There's different masks that you can put on this character. He comes with different guns. I can see, you know, all of the little slots where the guns and the helmets and the accessories, they're all full. So I'm thinking this is great. It's complete. People that have previously opened it haven't, you know, stolen any of the little guns, which is great. And it's marked at $25. I'm thinking, this is bizarre. This can't be worth $25. This, it looks like it should be worth like $100, if not more. So I look up a comp and there's all these sales from the US and a couple of listed in Australia, but on like independent like toy stores, not toy stores, like hobby shops. So the sales on eBay are $300 plus, and the Australian hobby shops where you can buy this brand new are $600. And this thing's marked at $25. Box is open, so it's not brand new. But I'm thinking, dude, I can chuck on my Aussie tax, and I can get like, I might be able to get like $300 plus for this thing. Great. I get home, I take everything out again. I'm looking, everything again looks great, except in the instruction manual. Yes, this fucking toy, this action figure has an instruction manual. It's missing one gun, a gun that goes on the back of him. No, not the gun, the gun belt, sorry. So like the gun sits on the back of him and it's supposed to have like a gun belt, like with all the bullets that connects to the back. That is missing. And it's not the biggest thing to be missing. but it is like a core piece. It's not like just a spare gun. It's supposed to be on him at all times because it's like an automatic gun that I guess is controlled by the suit, like the Iron Man type suit. So I'm like, oh, this sort of sucks. I can't sell it as complete. I can't sell it as like, you know, just missing a spare gun. It's missing like a core piece. So my dreams of listing it up with my Australia tax of $300 plus, gone. I can't list it brand new for $600, gone. So I've chucked it up on eBay for $200, and I've also done the same thing with Mr. Squiggle, where I say, no, you will be paying for the shipping this time. It's got a ton of views already. I've had people message me about it. I've had people on Marketplace message me about it too. A lot of lowballers on Marketplace being like, because it's missing the gun belt, are you open to offers? And I'm just thinking like, dude, I've priced it knowing I'm missing the gun belt. You don't have to educate me that the gun belt is missing. I already know. Stop rubbing it in. I should be able to profit, you know, what's 200 minus 25 minus eBay fees. Like, I should be able to get like $150 plus in profit for this. It should sell quickly. Marvel's extremely popular, and these action figure scale replicas are always so popular. I would say to you, you know, the thing to remember is if you see scale replica on anything, in most cases you'll be able to get more money than if it was just a random like plastic toy or plastic model. Scale replica, just remember that. It means more detail, it means more time, and when you add all those combined in the manufacturing process, it means a higher sale price, more money in our pockets, and that's what you should be looking for. Now, the next item is something we'd lucked out on at Lifeline. It's a Lifeline find. We're still sticking with toys. I'm sorry that there's so many toys this week, but I will pick it up if it's going to keep me above that $100 average sale price, and this toy is going to do that. So it's a Jurassic World playset. It's from a collection called the Legacy Collection. It was made by Mattel in 2023. The Legacy Collection, if you're not aware, okay, wait, if you're not aware, Jurassic Park came out when? In 1993, year after I was born. You're welcome. Jurassic World came out later, like 2018, no, before that. Whenever it came out, whenever the world fucking sucked, Jurassic World fucking ruined this world. It came out to, it made a ton of money at the box office. All the movies is fucking shit though. They're so bad. There's a new one coming out soon. Of course I'll be first in line. I'm going to see it. Yes. but this line was created Legacy Collection, meaning it is characters from the original Jurassic Park movie. So, you know, you'll remember Muldoon, you know, the guy with the cowboy looking guy. He has that famous line, like, clever girl. He is the hunter. There's a velociraptor in this. That's what the collection is called. The collection is called, let me find it for you. It is the Jurassic World Legacy Collection Velociraptor Containment Chaos. You remember at the very beginning of Jurassic Park, not to spoil it, but I'm about to spoil it, so skip ahead 30 seconds if you've not seen Jurassic Park. Fucking hell. There's a scene at the beginning of Jurassic Park where they're trying to contain some velociraptors. They have like a steel cage. They're trying to transport this thing, and it doesn't go very well. Some workers die. They've created this in the playset. Like I said, came out 2 years ago. However, this playset only came out in Target. So people loved it. They liked the set, but they couldn't buy it because where the fuck are Targets? Where is your nearest Target? Back in 2023, where was your nearest Target? I don't know. I honestly don't think the shop exists anymore. So it's hard to find. It was marked at $12 in the Lifeline. I looked it up online. I could see a sell-through rate that was absolutely insane. We've talked about sell-through rate before. If you don't know what it is, it basically means if you list it up, how quickly will it sell? If you list up, I always use the example Bruce Almighty. How many copies of Bruce Almighty do you think there are on eBay right now? Probably 1,000. How many times do you think that has sold on eBay in the past 90 days? Probably like 10. So it would have a really, really low sell-through rate. Okay? But if you're listing up something that has a high sell-through rate, it's an item that is going to sell quickly. It means that supply is low, demand is high. Crazy concept. This has a sell-through rate of 375%. It means if I list it up for sale on eBay, it will sell within 90 days, providing I've priced it, you know, not crazy high. So I look up comps. I'm seeing US comps. I don't think I see a single Australian comp. They're all over $100, $101, $102, $101.22. They're really high. They're above $100. They're all selling. There's a ton of sales, not many active listings. I can do my Australia tax, my tax that I put on Australians for buying local. I have to charge them more. But, you know, I don't, because I just think that, I don't know what I think. I list it up for $100. I think it's going to sell. The sell-through rate's there. Going to turn $12 into $100. I can't remember if I'm charging the person postage for it. I think I should, because it's like very long. Those things are always tricky to ship off you. They need to find the exact box. You can't use like the AusPost boxes because they only go up to, was it like 44 centimeters or something, 47 centimeters? So you either have to like create your own box or you have to wrap it in bubble wrap. But yeah, this is a $12 into $100 sale, or at least it's going to be. But from that, my tip to you is keep an eye out for dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are like, this could be your own little category if you wanted it to. Dinosaur figures, they're undervalued because of what they are. Dinosaur figures are so close, evolution-wise, from, you know, farm animal figures, right? Like, you would usually find at a thrift store or a garage sale, animal figures all in a bag, marked at whatever price, probably less than a dollar a figure, and you would be able to find the same thing at a garage sale, but they can all sell for good money. Yeah, I've shown some examples in the Flip Weekly newsletter, and most of these, like Jurassic World figures, for example, they're all selling for around $50, including postage. So, you know, if you find one at a garage sale for a dollar each and you're able to turn one into 50, like you could find four turn into $200, you know, and those returns are so much better than all of them, like the mainstream popular categories that people go for. You know, people finding Mario Kart on Wii for $5 at a thrift store and selling it for like, what does Mario Kart go for, like $30? The return on that is less than your return on finding like a Jurassic World Tyrannosaurus Rex for a dollar at a garage sale and flipping it on eBay. So it's a category that you could make your own. You could specialize in fucking dinosaurs. You know what I mean? Just look underneath them. Look for like the markings on them. If you can see Jurassic World, then you know that it's going to be like an item that somebody's going to want to buy. I don't know as much about just generic dinosaurs that don't have those markings. Like, I don't know if people are buying unbranded dinosaurs. Probably not, or not as much. You'd want that sort of brand so that people can, you know, feel like they're getting a high quality made figure. So yeah, make sure you look for those markings. And of course, you can even lot them up. Like, I'm looking on eBay right now and I can see like a bulk lot of 10 Jurassic World figures going for $150. Lot them up, ship them off in like a big large satchel, and you'd be able to make like $100. Like, it's a really, really good category to find yourself in. And you know, it's fun. You get to play with dinosaurs. You get to become an expert on dinosaurs. You'd be like the coolest kid around. So that's most of what I bought for this week. If you want to see a few more, go onto the newsletter. Jump onto social media. You'll be able to see some photos of Mr. Squiggle, that find from this year. But we're going to move on to what I sold now. So first things first, just a cool little graphic novel that I found in a thrift store for $5. It was The Walking Dead, Volume 1, Compendium 1. That basically means that it's a graphic novel with multiple stories in it. It's not just like a single comic issue. It's a lot of them all in one. That sold for $65 on eBay. I'm just going to talk to you real, real quick about how you can spot a graphic novel that's worth picking up. because, you know, you go into a thrift store and if you find any sort of comic, they're usually overvalued and overpriced, but you can get lucky with these graphic novels. People mistake them as kids' books. People mistake them as just even just regular books. But if you get a really, really good one, you can sell it for a lot of money. You know, you can go back through Flip Weekly and see that I found one called The Darkness. I think it was called The Darkness. I found it for like I think $5, and it sold for $200 or $250. So you're gonna feel really lucky if you find one in a thrift or a garage sale. But here's basically how to spot one that's worth picking up, okay? So all of the pages are going to have coloring on them. You know, whether it's black or it's colored, all of the pages are going to, you know, they're going to have more than just text. So the very top of the book, we call that the text block, they're going to look different than your regular books, because regular books, like, they just have that plain text. It's primarily white. There's a lot of white space, but not for these graphic novels. So if you're looking down on the book, you'll be able to see a different text block on it. I explained this in past issues of Flip Weekly, so go back and look for, you know, the visual representation of that. But if you see one graphic novel from the top, that's basically what they look like. Now, the most valuable ones are ones that are going to contain like multiple stories or multiple volumes, multiple issues. You don't want just a single issue. In most cases, you're not going to sell it for much, and the thrift store is probably going to pick up on it because it looks like a comic book because it's so thin. So what you're going to want to be looking out for are the novels, graphic novels that have the sort of words in them that I sold this week. So compendium, omnibus, all of those words mean a collection, I think. So you want to be looking out for that. It means multiple stories in one, and you're going to be able to sell it for more because collectors, well, maybe not so collectors, just people that want to read these books. Like, if you're going to be reading The Walking Dead, do you really want to go through like 100 different comic books, or would you rather just buy like one book that has it all in there? You know, I mean, it really depends on the type of reader, but there's a reason why like these omnibuses and shit are popular. It's because it means like less storage space, and it just means like you don't have to switch from one to the other constantly. It's more convenient, right? So the other thing is that obviously these graphic novels, they're going to have like really detailed illustrations on either the front or the back of the book or both. And of course they're going to have it inside. So you want to open it up. If you spot one that you think is a graphic novel, you know, you see the text block, maybe on the spine you see the omnibus word or something that makes you think it's a graphic novel, you have to pick it up, you have to look inside, and you can just confirm for yourself that it is a graphic novel. Now, you can find these in the kids section constantly, but I think the ones that are more valuable are the ones that are targeted towards adults. So yes, they might still be in the kids section, but you're wanting to look for ones that don't look like they're targeted towards kids. So the more violent or the more graphic the book is, it's going to be worth more. Now, there's a huge, huge trend in Australia for people that aren't book authors to create books. You know, there's like books made by Tim Cahill, a famous Australian soccer star. There's like books made by Ash Barty. I think she even made some, tennis player. I think they just licensed their names out. I think he's a comedian, an Australian comedian called Arne Doe. He has a couple of books out. I think his biography is called The Happiest Refugee in Australia, something like that. He has a graphic novel called Enter the Roo, Kung Fu Roo 1. Now, that's a graphic novel, but if you look at it, it's so easily targeted towards kids. If you couldn't tell by the name, you can tell by the graphics. They're not as detailed. They just look very, very childish. Those books aren't going to be worth as much. You want the ones targeted towards adults. Adults can pay more. Kids have no money. So those are the books you want to be finding. The other one is that obscure is usually the best. So The Walking Dead, while I was able to turn this from 5 into 65, The Walking Dead's so fucking popular that the manufacturing on these books is going to be higher. So they're mass manufacturing it. So it's going to have more supply that's going to mean less demand. It's just basic economics, right? So you're wanting to find something a bit more obscure, not so obscure that it doesn't have an audience, though. You know, I found graphic novels before where it's like independently published, it's targeted towards adults, you know, it ticks all those boxes, but it just doesn't have that audience size because it's not as popular. So you want to, it's like walking a thin line between obscure and extremely popular. You know, something a bit less popular than The Walking Dead, targeted towards adults. But yeah, that's what you want to find. And the very, very last tip, you know, I'm the king of signed books. You know, I've said that in the newsletter. It's so fucking cringy, but I'm going to repeat it until somebody else repeats it back to me. You know, where how they say you repeat a lie often enough and it will come true, or people will think that it's true. I'm just going to keep saying it enough until somebody brands me the king of signed books. The last one is that graphic novels are, you know, another version of books that you can look for signatures. I found a signature in a graphic novel before. I didn't buy it because it didn't have that mass popularity that I was looking for. It was way too obscure. It's called like Undad. So instead of Undead, it was called Undad. It's not very popular, but it had the signature inside of it. I didn't buy it. But artists, they sell these graphic novels at like Comic Con conventions and you know, they sign it, and if it's really popular, highly sought after signature, you're going to be able to get even more money for it. So you'll be able to turn, you know, if this Walking Dead book was signed by the creator of The Walking Dead, man, I'd be able to, you know, maybe even chuck a zero onto the end of that. So you just hope that the person that donated the graphic novel, first of all, spent up for the book. They paid good money for it. They paid good money to go to Comic-Con, get it signed, and then donate it to the thrift store for us to find. That's ideally, like in a perfect world, that is what I would want to happen. So those are the tips for graphic novels. I think, you know, I think you should be able to find at least one if you are routinely going to thrift stores. If you keep going back, you'll be able to find them. Just Google image search graphic novels so you can sort of start to see what they look like, so you can point them out. Now, speaking of signed books, the next sale was another signed book. You know, I'm the king of signed books. I bought it for $2. I sold it for $50. Signatures are such an easy way to turn like a cheap book into something that is going to, like, you know, pay for a lunch. So I found The Disaster Artist not that long ago in a thrift store. That's the movie based on the other movie, The Room, by Tommy Wiseau. Tommy Wiseau made The Room. The movie was, I mean, it was one of those so bad it's good type things. Tommy Wiseau has a bit of mystery surrounding him. And then in that movie, The Room, a guy called Greg Sestero was one of the main characters. He lived with Tommy Wiseau for a while, and he ended up writing a book about The Room called The Disaster Artist. That book then had a movie made about it called The Disaster Artist, starring Seth Rogen, James Franco, Dave Franco. You might have seen that. The book was signed by Greg Sestero, and it's gone on to sell for $50. Like I said last week with Magda Szubanski's book selling, it usually sells when the person is in town or they've made the news for whatever reason. And the reason this book sold was because there's a special screening of The Room in Sydney next month. It's at a theater called The Orpheum. And apparently this theater has screened the movie every month for the past 12 years. So Greg is going to show up for this one. And I'm going to guess that's why it sold. Somebody heard about that, or they're going to go to it and, I don't know, get a second signature on the book. Fucked if I know. But yeah, I paid $2 for it and it sold for $50. Man, if Tommy signs it, again, chuck a zero onto the end of that. Not many sales for this week. A bit of a slow week, but there's a few more on the newsletter if you want to go and check them out. I've been rambling for a while, so let's get into the secondhand opinions and then let's wrap things up. So secondhand opinions this week, well, actually last week, was the question, would you still thrift if there was would you still thrift if there was no money in it? I said to you I probably wouldn't. You know, I thrift right now to make money, and obviously to create content. I wouldn't thrift if there was no money in it. However, looking at the poll, yes, I would still thrift ended up winning with 73.91% of the vote. So it looks like a bunch of you guys do it for fun, which is cool. Or not just for fun, but to, you know, buy things that you need, whether it's clothes or unlimited amounts of iPhone cases. But yeah, that means that, what's the other, 25% would say goodbye to op shops forever. That would be me, would be saying goodbye forever. If you can't make money, no point visiting, right? For me, at least. but that's, yeah, I guess that seems about right, 70%. Do it for the love of it. Yeah, cool. So this week's topic, are thrifted gifts thoughtful or tacky? Thoughtful or tacky? Are thrifted gifts thoughtful or tacky? Let me think. I'm sort of in two boats here. Like, I do not want to be a fence sitter. I have given thrifted gifts before, but mainly if they're brand new and sealed. Now, obviously, I would do that because it's either a bit more obscure, like it's new old stock, you know what they say, or it's like a bit cheaper than you can find it in a regular retail store, and you know, you're just getting it cheaper. I don't know if I would give like a thrifted t-shirt as a present, and like maybe if it was like really old and valuable. But I remember finding a like a really old Disney vintage jumper once before, and I thought like I could gift this. It doesn't have the tag on it, but in the back of my mind I was like, I don't know if how this would go over. Like, I don't know, it's sort of tricky. I wouldn't say that people I give gifts to are people that are going to complain like, how much did you spend on this? Why didn't you spend like fucking Dudley? No, is his name Dudley in Harry Potter? Dursley? What's the kid's name? I think it's Dudley. Dudley Dursley. Yeah, Dursley. Dudley Dursley. Complaining about gifts. No. Yeah, I don't think they're tacky. I think, now this actually sounds like a me problem, because if I gave a gift that was thrifted, I would think to myself, is this person going to think that I didn't spend enough money on it? So I'm putting that thought out there. They might not even, you know, contemplate the price. So that seems like a more of a me problem, right? Somebody psychoanalyze me. I don't think they're tacky. I would be happy to receive a thrifted gift if it was something that I was interested in, right? If it was a t-shirt and it was like vintage, I would appreciate it. I would wash it, you know, multiple times. But yeah, I don't know. I think any gift really is thoughtful, right? Like, even if you're at a thrift store and you buy a gift for somebody, that's thoughtful. So how can it be tacky? Can it be thoughtful and tacky? can a gift be thoughtful and tacky? No. Any sort of gift is thoughtful. So okay, so that's going to be what my argument is. No, what my response to this. So if you ask me, are thrifted gifts thoughtful or tacky? I would say no, because if somebody gifted me something, they've thought about me. They're in the thrift or in a retail store, and they've thought about me, and they've thought like, Matt would love this, I'm going to get it for him. You know what, in fact, it might be even more thoughtful than a retail store, because you go to a retail store at Christmas time, in your mind you're thinking, okay, I got to buy for this person, I got to buy for this person, I got to buy for this person. But if you're in a thrift store, your mind might not be in like, I have to buy for people. It could be like, I'm here for a browse. So if somebody pops up and you buy them a present from there, you know, that's even more thoughtful. So that is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say they're extremely thoughtful. They might be even more thoughtful than retail presents. That is what I'm saying. No, they're not tacky. I disagree if somebody says they're tacky. You cannot say that a gift is tacky, right? I don't know. Can you? You tell me. Tell me here. Reply to. I mean, you can't reply to something. This is a podcast. Send in an email, matt@flipweekly.com, Matt with one T. Leave a comment if this is like a YouTube video. And also jump onto flipweekly.com and fill in the poll, answer the poll. tell me either one, they're thoughtful, two, a bit tacky. Now that's all that I've got for you this week. I am freezing to death here in Sydney. I hope you are a bit warmer. I mean, the earth is going to shit, so I hope you're not too fucking warm where, you know, you're on the opposite end of the extreme. But if you're going to garage sales on the weekend, please, please wear warm clothes. It's going to be a cold one. I hope that you find something cool. I hope that you find something cool in the thrift. Hit me up if you do. Make sure you check out Flip Weekly on all social media. You're going to see videos and photos. If you haven't subscribed to the newsletter, go and do that. It's in your inbox every Thursday morning, 9 a.m. on the dot, every single week without a single missed newsletter. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you again next Thursday. Have a great week.
Flip, 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 flip.
Flip Weekly.